What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Last week, as he was giving a speech rallying the right at Utah Valley College, 31-year-old right-wing political provocateur Charlie Kirk was killed by 22-year-old Utah native conservative Tyler Robinson. Since that time, we've seen Charlie Kirk, who believed black women were inferior, gun deaths are just a needed byproduct to protect the Second Amendment, that the replacement of white folks by folks of color needs to be interrupted, and who was the confidant and a political advisor to Donald Trump, be almost canonized by this administration, prayed for by black electeds, lifted up as the symbol of free speech, and practically shoved down the throats of the world as a hero that should be mourned, as opposed to the racist, violent, sexist, misogynistic, homophobic, transphobe who wanted me, my kid, her kids, and her kids wiped from the face of the earth. But I digress into that, which I should discuss with my guest, Kalonji Jamachanga. Kalonji is an organizer, founder of the FTP movement, co-chair of the Urban Survival and Preparedness Institute, co-founder of Black Power Media. He is also the author of best-selling book, How to Build a People's Army, and co-producer of the documentary, Organizing is the New Cool. He is also my brother and comrade. What's up, Kalonji? How you be?
Hey, I'm alive on arrival. What's going on, Kat?
How's everything? That's the hardest question on the planet to answer these days. How is everything? Well, our brother chairman, what did he say? He said, it's terrible, but it's fine.
True indeed. You already know.
Thank you for coming on the show. So last week, sort of how we got here a little bit, because I've been letting everybody else do their Instagram commentary. So I'm going to have this as a conversation. But I almost went on Instagram in response to a headline that I saw from a media outlet that I have great respect for. We have their guests like John Nichols on the show pretty regularly. But The Nation, right, considered a left progressive media outlet. But they had a headline, brother, that said, quote, the killing of Charlie Kirk is part of a terrible new era of political violence. For me, the word is new. My immediate questions were new to whom, new for who. The entire history of this country is a violence log of political violence. But just to be sure, I Googled it, and the Smart White People's Bible, Britannica, said, racial violence is woven throughout the fabric of the history of the United States. In the centuries following the initial colonization of North America, racial and ethnic minorities, especially African American and indigenous people, have repeatedly been targeted by white people, often as part of organized actions undertaken by white supremacist groups. Violent race riots often devolved into massacres, though in some instances, mass death was intended from the outset. End quote. Racial violence is political violence. Yeah?
I'm glad you're touching on this because there's nothing colder than the white man. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, never cease to amaze me. It's only political violence when they take a hit, you know, and the wild thing about it, and I'm so grateful that it was one of their own. Let me just say that because I have folks jumping up and down, popping off, talking about, we shouldn't celebrate, you know, this man's death and so on and so forth, as if that's what we do traditionally, as if, you know, our executions and our lynchings weren't celebrated, as if they didn't have, quote unquote, picnics to pick apart enslaved Africans, as if they didn't, tar and feather, they had whole parties and celebrations, not only around our deaths, but during the execution itself. So my position is, miss me with the nonsense. And to black folks who are out here hopping up and down online and running to master to tell them, like, ooh, this person said something, so on and so forth, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're like a modern Benedict Arnold. You know what I'm saying? For you to come out your throat, for you to fix your black lips, your black mouth, to say, you know, that this is a shame and we shouldn't be thinking of things like that. I'm watching people being fired across the country because of the fact that they're making comments on social media. I mean, even MSNBC, they fired their political analyst, Matthew Dodd. NASDAQ is firing people. The Carolina Panthers is firing people. The U.S. Secret Service actually fired one of their agents, placed them on administrative leave because they expressed an opinion of Kirk. Here in Atlanta, you have teachers being fired or given administrative leave because they simply expressed themselves. No one had a problem when George Floyd was called all types of derogatory terms, when he was discussed in his murder and his assassination by the police, when he was taken out. You know, the question of the day was, well, he was on drugs before and all this other craziness. But you can't open your mouth to whisper about Charlie Kirk, who's made all types of different statements, all types of different criticisms of African people, including King, including women, including, you know, talking about the Second Amendment, so on and so forth, as far as, you know, how gun violence was necessary to advance and to keep the Second Amendment in tow. So, you know, it's really like a joke, but it's the American way.
A thread I want to tug on a little bit more, and it wasn't in my script, but as you were talking, and I guess even as I introduced the conversation, a lot of times this country wants to talk about racial or political violence against Black people as something that happened a long time ago, right? Slavery, which it wasn't, right? I know that you've done the exercise. If you draw a timeline of America on a wall, like the biggest chunk of it actually is slavery, and then Reconstruction, Jim Crow, et cetera, right? Legalized, accepted, normalized political violence. But I think we're still using this because we don't have really any better data. Every 28 hours, every day and a half, right, that we know of, one of us is murdered by agents of the state, right? White supremacist violence, we know, has been on the rise since 2015, when Trump utilized racial violence as a way to get elected as president of this country. We've never reset to the levels pre-2015. It's actually just escalated every year. But we are told, right, that actually it's all gravy for us as we walk through the streets of this country, Black and breathing. But political violence is a daily lived reality for us, yes.
Absolutely. I mean, political violence in all types of ways, you know, all over the country, they're talking about what happened at the university in Utah. But it's damn near mute when it comes to the lynching of Demetrivian Reed, who was found in Mississippi yesterday, who the 21-year-old student was found hanging at Delta State University. And as always, as all the other lynchings and hangings that have taken place over the past 20 years plus in places like Mississippi, the thing that you find every single time without any investigation is no signs of foul play. No signs of foul play. When they murder us in the streets, it's the victim's fault. You understand? When they tase folks to death. Up in Aurora, Colorado, when the young man was ketamine that they used on him, they killed the young autistic brother who begged for his life. Was that not political violence? You know, the case of George Floyd, was that not political violence? You know, anywhere USA, the housing, quote unquote, crisis from Oakland to Atlanta, is that not political violence? You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, as Chairman Fred Jr. would talk about, it's always nice terms for brutal realities. You know what I'm saying? And the brutal reality is, no matter what you decide to call this thing right here, it's the same old two-step. For the past 400 plus years, there's been political violence against our people, you know, and people of color as a whole. We have to really look at this thing for what it is. And we have to say, you know, looking at this current quote unquote administration, you know, I was laughing because I saw J.D. Vance, vice president. Yeah. This bum hosting the Charlie Kirk's radio show yesterday.
What? From his office next door to the White House.
Yes. I mean, like, how insane is that? I'm talking about you hosting this dead man's podcast, and you're calling him some type of hero. And I'm seeing all over the country, and some folks have a problem with it. The whole flag flying at half mast. The only problem I have with the flag flying at half mast is I feel, and it's my personal opinion, that it should be lower. They should just fly it from the ground, you know, step on it if they wanted to. I don't really care about it flying half mast. Take it all the way down. Now. Yeah, I know. But it's a symbol It is a symbol of empire. And that particular symbol is that America, the United States, is declining. You know, I'm looking at this thing, and it was just 15 months ago when Minnesota State Rep Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed inside of their home. They were shot down inside of their own home. And in the same morning, the state senator, I think his name is John Hoffman or something, and his wife, they were shot and wounded. There was a little flag flying half staff. In fact, when Trump was asked about it, why he didn't make it a federal half staff joint, half mass, he said that the governor didn't ask. And if he asked, he would have gladly, put that on record. But this just shows you the insanity of it. Here it is, you have this white supremacist. It's not an alleged white supremacist. I mean, he made statements, comments like, if I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. You know what I mean? He talked about Martin Luther King. He talked about how King was an awful person, and that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a beast, and it's turned into an anti-white weapon. This is what this white boy said. And we're sitting around here acting like we're supposed to, cry because Strom Thurmond is dead. We act like we're supposed to be sad because Bill Connor kicked the bucket or Ronald Reagan croaked. I mean, what are we supposed to do here? What are you supposed to act like we don't see what's going on? I mean, this is totally insane, man. I mean, it's ridiculous on another level.
Elijah McClain is the young brother you was talking about. Yes. That they used ketamine to. Yes. I just for people, you have to inject a lot of ketamine. Ketamine is not a drug people just regularly OD off of, right? That's right. Like that had to be an incredible amount. A well-respected Bay Area communicator, Billen, said on her Facebook page that she has never had to unfriend, block, and unfollow so many people on the platform as she has since Kirk's killing. And I was like, sis, me too. And I mean people who've been in the streets with APTP.
Yes.
People, right? Like people that like were with me screaming F the police.
Yes.
As loud as they could are on this platform talking about political violence has no place in the Discord. We all should be mourning the death. And Melissa, I'm an energist, so you ain't gonna catch me celebrating anything negative. But that's mostly because I don't want it to come back to me. But I'm not. I don't care about that. The only reason why you and I are having this conversation right now is to point out the absurdity, the political hypocrisy, and the ways in which black people, people in general, because it's not just us, right? It's women, it's queer folks, it's right, that are being gaslit.
What I did out.
In this moment, that's the only reason why we're talking about this, is because I just want to unpack the absurdity of the moment. I also want to talk about what we should be doing in terms of security and being prepared, because there's some stuff that's happening. This is respectability, and right now I'm just talking about black folks.
Yes.
This is respectability politics on steroids. Mm. Talk about why this is dangerous.
I think it's dangerous. One, let's go back and play Captain Obvious. The reality is the average black person in the United States never heard of Charlie Kirk before he got busted in his neck. You know what I mean? So let's be clear about that. We're not celebrating Charlie Kirk's death, but we're not mourning with you either. You know what I'm saying? Our position is that of Malcolm. The chickens have come home to roost. You said, out of his mouth, he said that it was going to take, it may take some deaths to uphold the Second Amendment. That's his whole thing. His last words, they asked him about how many mass shootings were there in the United States. And the last words he said was, are you including gang violence? And true to form, white on white crime sprouted up. He's popped in his neck at that moment. His last words, what a way to go out. He stood on his square. Now, why is it dangerous? It's dangerous because of the fact that for centuries, black folks in particular, we've been in such a delusional state that we confuse being spiritual as a need to be passive, right? We will pray ourselves to death while they pray on us for our death, okay? It is dangerous because of the fact that folks are unprepared and they still under the assumption that we are somehow American. We're under the assumption that, you know, if I just keep quiet, then nothing's going to happen. The reality is these folks are so warped. When you talk about some of Trump supporters in particular, their minds are so warped that any and everything that doesn't look or sound like them can be deemed an enemy. And so while we're on the sidelines playing pacifists, these folks are plotting your demise. So what must be done in your churches, in your schools, in your mosques, your organizations, whatever, so on and so forth? You have to work on survival preparedness, because the first thing you have to do is Kwame Ture, our brother formerly known as Stokely Carmichael, will talk about, we have to survive America. And you will not survive just by moving along as if it's business as usual. The U.S. is in a crisis. It's in a serious crisis, as is Israel and some of these other felonious colonies. And like a person drowning in the water, if they can't swim, they're going to grab onto whatever's near them. And these folks will grab onto you to take you out as well. And so if we don't prepare, if we don't organize, and I'm not just talking about organizing on the internet, you have to get with your family, get with your crew, get with your organization and people of like minds and say, you know what, listen, it's a pretty good chance that they will shut things down. It's a pretty good chance that we might not be able to communicate on the phone. It's a pretty good chance that Law and Disorder, Black Power Media, Hard Knock Radio will be a thing of the past. And we talk about this whole free speech thing. It's as free until they say it's not. Everything is costly. There's no free speech in America. There's a price for everything. And folks like Cat Brooks, folks like Kalonji Chonga, we're not just talking heads on the screen. They see you in the seat. They see Cat Brooks raising hell. I see Cat Brooks raising hell, and I'm in Atlanta. So I know they see him over in the Bay. So the reality is they're not going to want folks like us. We're representing political prisoners right now, from Leonard Peltier to Jeff Fort. And these are brothers who had been in prison and are still in prison for 40 plus years. You have folks like Mumia, so on and so forth. Mumia is in prison right now because of what you call free speech. Don't let him fool you. The fact that he spoke out against systematic oppression, the fact that he spoke out against imperialism, colonialism, and domination as a whole is why he's in prison. So in order for you all, the listeners, those who are listening to us right now, if you are interested in our survival, the thing that you want to do is you want to get with some folks that are serious about humanity, that are serious about life, and that are looking towards some form of victory. If not, we'll all be going to hell in a handbasket.
Brother Kalonji, you're talking about political prisoners, and something I've been talking about a lot lately, just because it just happens to be the conversation that I'm having publicly. I just did a panel on solitary confinement, hosted a panel on solitary confinement. And one of the things I was talking to Brother Dorsey Nunn about on that panel was that the American carceral system, American concentration camps, were literally devolved to address the Black Power movement. That when you look at the brutality as it exists now, that was a direct response to Black folks demanding, asserting our right to breathe, our freedom, clear, concise analysis about white supremacy and its impact on Black folks in this country. So they just caged it, or they tried to anyway, right? That's how we get to 10, 20, 30, 40 years of our comrades sitting in boxes. Which I'm thinking about in this moment, because America will morph to achieve its goal into the most nasty and despicable and vile things. And so when I think about more despicable, more vile, more nasty, when I think about But they often do it on the low, right? But we're dealing with like that, like to your point, the vice president is hosting this white supremacist show. The president has ordered the symbol of America to fly at half mast, which for them is a sign of respect. There's a call from the White House for people to report people that say anything about Charlie Kirk, not even celebrating as to anything, pointing out his belief system. If you repeat the quotes that which some of these people have been fired, that's all they did. They just said, this is what he said, and this is how he died. And they were fired. I think about the ways in which what is happening right in front of our faces, and how some folks are still asleep to it.
It
I would,
is. It,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I just, in I would just say, I would agree with some folks that this is a watershed moment. I don't think it's a watershed moment in terms of ushering in a new era of political violence. I think it's a watershed moment in America communicating very directly to us what is here and what is coming.
Oh, yeah. You know, again, as you said earlier, quoting Chairman Fred, it's terrible, but it's fine. I think that we're in a era where all of the myths are being dispelled. The myth of freedom. You understand what I'm saying? The fact that we talked about this whole freedom of speech situation. There is this, where we are right now, we're in a police state indeed, but this is fascism on steroids. This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. And I think that there's gonna come a time, and I'm saddened by it because of the fact that I'm watching our people literally be destroyed. And all that they ever believed in, one day they will wake up and realize that it was all a fallacy. And it was all a I don't even want to say a dream, because I would say it was an illusion. Because we're walking around and you have the quote unquote orange man, you have folks like JD Vance, and they're not pulling any stops. And so you see, they're confused even within their ranks right now. You have folks like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's talking about stepping away from the joint. So you know it's bad right now. You know what I'm saying? Even she knows it's crazy, as crazy as she is. You know, but it's the level of insanity right now is that if you disagree with Charlie Kirk, if you disagree with Trump, if you disagree with Netanyahu, then it's a good chance that you'll end up in the gallows. And so you and I, we don't work for the state, so they can't fire us. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to up security. And I'm just keeping it a buck, and I'm saying this publicly because of the fact that I want folks to know how real it is. In the words of Chairman Fred, we're not going to die slipping on a piece of ice. So for those of you who are listening, please understand, to be vocal in the United States of America this time period is a revolutionary act. It doesn't make you a revolutionary, but if you speak out against injustice, if you speak out against tyranny, you speak out against oppression, there's a chance that things won't go right for you. You know? And we don't, best believe, I need folks to understand, we're not doing this to look bold or look like we want some props. We are afraid as well. Let's be clear. It don't mean that, because see, some folks get it twisted. I ain't scared of nothing. A person that's not scared of anything is insane. They have some type of problem. You have to have a healthy fear, but it doesn't mean that you will be paralyzed in fear. We're not afraid of them. We're afraid of you. We're afraid of you not understanding who you're up against and who we're up against, and how diabolical this beast is. And until we're clear about that, again, we will spiral down this drain, down this quote unquote cesspool, with these folks who, by the laws of nature, will lose. By the laws of nature as a whole, the laws of nature stating that you cannot destroy the planet. These are people who wish to totally annihilate the planet, totally eliminate life as we know it, and we're walking around talking about we don't want to pray for someone's death. Are you insane? Are you out of your mind? You got to be a serious meat eater and be bloodthirsty. And I'm not talking about not picking on anyone's diet, but I'm just saying you have to be amongst the bloodthirsty to sit here and have talking points for the state. You don't have to say anything. If you feel like, you know, all dogs should go to heaven, then bark with Charlie Kirk. You understand what I'm saying? But that's not my belief. You know what I'm saying? Like, we what's up, Cat? What's going on, man? We've been doing this too long, Cat. I've been doing you almost 30 years. What's happening here?
Not bark with Charlie Kirk. I can't say.
I'm just saying. Like, you know, I mean, you know, and we know the female dog is caused. I don't even want to go there. But I'm just saying, let's be cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're in bad shape, man. I mean, I'm sitting here. I mean, I'm confused as to why Cat Brooks and I have to sit here and have a discussion around this. I'd rather be talking about Charlie Brown than Charlie Kirk.
It's bizarre. It's absurd. And like I said, yes. You know, like I was not one that ran to Instagram. Like, I had things to say. Yes. But I was like, I'm not gonna be reactionary in this moment. I'm gonna watch the foolishness and I'm gonna have a conversation with somebody intelligent about how nutter butter this is. I wanna pull on some threads because I think you said some things that are really important. And one of them, of several, was that, you know, to speak out right now is a revolutionary act. I was telling my dude not too long ago, I haven't been to the station since 2020, you know, with the onset of COVID, I do all my work at home. And I was sitting at the table that I do the show from, and I looked at my front door, and it was like early. This is before the clock changed or whatever, and so it was still dark outside. And the thought that ran through my head, and I might have said this to you last time we spoke, was as long as I've known, because I'm a student of history, that I got a file and they watch me and they follow me and all this other stuff, blah, 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 blah. That's a reality. And again, not one that I'm not fearful of. I've just made a decision to move in my life in a way, despite, right? Like, I'm not seeking, right? I want to raise my baby on this side of the walls,
right?
And I want to continue to breathe. I'm not one of these people that romanticizes being a martyr. But I looked at my door and I said, almost to your point, 30 years of doing this work, this is the first time that this is the first time I actually would not be surprised. Like, if right now you and I were talking and my door kicked in, surprise is not what would I be like, oh, well, okay. No. Okay, you know, right on. All right, let's go. I expect it almost. And not that I'm not important, because I'm not.
Right.
But well, they
you kick are. Us well, off. Yeah.
Thank you, brother. They you know, one at a time, right? Like, but I've made a decision that I know what the cost is, and I'm gonna say it anyway.
Yes, you have to, because it's your job. You have to, because of the fact that we have some of the same ancestors and same OGs. And I know the marching orders, and I know that you know the marching orders. So there's accountability between us. See, the thing is, a lot of folks, they're surprised when, oh, you know, do you know who Cat Brooks is? I mean, this literally, folks ask me, do I know who Cat Brooks is? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, nah, who is she? You understand what I'm saying? Do you know who Cat Brooks is? But, you know, and I'm saying it's not on the, I'm loving the fact that you're making it clear that this is not about props or praise. Because the reality is, some of the most popular people that you know in quote unquote movement and struggle, they are compromised.
They, who the state said, are allowed to be our spokespeople.
And that's the only reason you know them. That's the only reason you know them. You understand what I'm saying? It's not because they had a good PR team. It's not because their rap game was better than ours. You know what I'm saying? And it's not because they outwork us, because most of the cases, that's not a fact. We know that. It's not even a reality. However, they are state sponsored. Now, when we get up and say it, then we haters. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have time for no haters on the battlefield. We don't have time to be looking cute on the battlefield. You know what I'm saying? And the reality is, again, nor are we comparing ourselves to any of our ancestors that put in the work before we even existed. But what I believe, what I think that we are attempting to do is to carry that work on. And it's not by us talking about being violent. It's not about us being tough talking. It's not about us just critiquing other black folks or other colonized individuals, so on and so forth. We'd rather not. But we are clear that in these days and times, that we don't have time for the okie doke. We don't have time to be lollygagging. We don't have time to be beefing with each other. Now, I know there's a lot of folks out here. You and I, we are quiet taste cat books. We like that first shot of liquor. If you ever drink liquor, you're like, ooh, this is strong. You and I will probably, unless you and I put together something, the chance of you and I being in the same space at an event is Molotov. It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
no. I'm surprised that they even let us on this show together.
Just because they ain't got no choice.
No. We would never be anywhere. There's no school or organization that's going to invite both of us out there together because it's going to be problematic. Because then they can't call me. They can't say it's patriarchy because I'm going to have you there with me. You know what I'm saying? Then they can't say that, you know, I don't know what they say to you, but, you know, it's a problem. Let's just say that. But we need the people to recognize that the work that we're attempting to do, you know, it's enough work for all of us. There's enough individuals out there that are sincere and are true to our people's liberation movement. And there are a lot of clowns out there that's really on some game. But we need you all to figure that part out. We can't just keep pointing fingers at folks. That's not our job. We're too busy. We need our fingers to be doing heavy lifting.
And that's actually one of the problems that with the left right now, and I'm putting together a list that'll be out in some literary form at some point, and one of them is, right, like that we eat each other.
Yes.
We out here eating each other. I'm like, the fact that you have time to talk about me on social media, I mean, go ahead. At this point, I'm like, there's nothing more to be said about me or to me on social media. It just does not exist. So be my guest. But the fact that you call yourself an activist or an organizer or whatever.
Speak on it.
And you have time right now with that dude in the office and these masked gangbangers.
Yeah.
And as an insult to gangbangers on our streets kidnapping people.
That's right.
You have time to talk about me on Instagram.
Yeah.
It is mind blowing.
It's amazing. I've had folks do whole shows about me. I have folks set up websites, the whole nine. You know what I'm saying? And it's comical to me because I'm in the field with a shield and a spear. Where you at? You ain't never there. If I see you somewhere, it's at a nonprofit function and you looking nervous. You understand what I'm saying? Because you don't know if I'm going to bite or not. You understand what I'm saying? But put your hand in my mouth and see what happens. You know what I'm saying? You know, like I said, you know, all dogs, you go to heaven if you want them to. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, you know, despite all of that, despite, you know, all the nonsense and all of that type of stuff, man, the reality is there's a war going on. And either you have to make a decision on what side of the barricade you're going to be on. Either you're going to be for what's right or not. If you see folks like Cat Brooks and you see folks like Kalonji Chang and so many others out there, and your riff or your beef is you don't like their personality or you heard something, so on and so forth, then you's a sucker. I'm just straight up saying it. You're a straight sucker. My whole thing is, our whole thing is find out what points of unity we have to work together. It's a crisis, it's war going on, and I know that you know that, to quote the young boy from Southern California, they not like us. You can say whatever you want to. I know where we at. Where listen, you at? On the internet talking crazy?
Yeah, okay. Yes.
All right. Podcasts because it is a necessity. We don't do podcasts.
Organizing tool.
That's right. It's a tool. And that's just it. It is a propaganda tool. And that's just it. Whether you like the show, whether you comment or whatever, nobody care about that in real life. We would like you to support it because of the fact that in many cases, it's self-fueled and self-funded. You know what I'm saying? So if you like it, put something in a bucket. But if not, then what rhymes with bucket?
Lodge, I want to tug on another thread that you said, because I do respect you as an organizer, and I don't say that to too many people these days, because I don't think actually most people right now that are
I know you're in real life, girl. You ain't got to tell me that. You tell
are actually
that.
Organizers, right? Like,
right.
But you said something. I'm not talking about organizing online. Talk about organizing online. Is that a thing? And if that's a thing, what does that look like versus I'm calling an event for people to come outside on this day and I'm gonna go back to doing what I was doing before I called this
Indeed.
event?
Again, it goes back to what I just said, what we just talked about. A tool. The internet can be used as a tool, but we're also clear that the internet was created by the US military for communications purposes and control. Now, I'm not knocking those brothers and sisters that have different restrictions as to why they can't do anything beyond the internet. Right, because there's all types of different situations. Folks may have physical disabilities. They may have, situations where they just can't get out. So I understand that, for whatever reasons. But for those who are able to get out and actually do that work, but all you do is sit up on social media and critique everyone else's work, then that's a problem. You're not an organizer or an activist just because you say you're one. You understand what I'm saying? Being an organizer or an activist is not your pronoun. You can't just say that because of the fact that you're at home and you say, I feel like I'm an activist because I put on red, black, and green and I got on the internet and started talking crazy to a bunch of people and I have no politics. That's not how this thing goes. You have to get involved. You have to engage with the people. If you're going to talk about what's going on in the hood, go out in the hood. Talk to the people in the hood. If you're going to have a town hall meeting about police terrorism, make sure that the victims of police terrorism are present. You just can't pontificate, stay on top of your soapbox, and just tell folks what they need to do. Those days are dead. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're an academic, I respect that. But be a guerrilla intellectual. Get out there amongst the people. Learn from the people. Don't just learn from what Harvard told you or what, I don't know, whatever university, UCLA, Berkeley, or whatever the case is. Don't just talk about what they're talking about. Talk about what the people are talking about. You know what I'm saying? So be amongst the people. Be like Fred. Be like Chairman Fred. You know what I'm saying? Be like Asada. You know what I'm saying? Don't just run around talking about I'm Asada's daughter and Yui's son and Fred's nephew. You know what I'm saying? Get active. So that's what I mean. Go beyond just the internet, because the internet have you souped up, because you don't even know who you're talking to on the internet. I remember one time, Kat, my son, he was on my computer and I looked and he had left. I'm like, what is this sign? What is he signed into? And he's on YouTube and he's arguing with someone about COINTELPRO. My son was 9 at the time. And whoever he's arguing with, they're all these long paragraphs, so on and so forth. And my son was smashing them with basic common sense. And he was 9. So you don't even know who you're talking to. So you're someone that think you're an elder, Baba Whoop Bap Bam, you know what I'm saying, from the Lost Tribe or wherever, you know what I'm saying? And you argue that you talk about you sound like a dummy. You're talking crazy to my 9-year-old son. So again, we don't even know who we're organizing with. Oh, excuse me, or attempting to organize with, if you can't see them in real life. I don't argue with people online because of the fact that, again, you're not real to me if I can't see you in the streets. If all I see, if you got a picture of Yui as your profile picture, or of Angela Davis, I'm not about to be arguing with you. Who are you? You're probably some white man in that's a part of MAGA.
Right. It's to that point. And then I'm gonna read something. I'm gonna play a quote, and I'll have you respond. I mean, a clip. I'll have you respond to that, and then I'll let you go. But in the last deluge of attacks against me on Instagram, I stopped by with people, and I just started giving the APTP office address, and they were
Wow.
like, "Can't stop," and I was like, "What?" I like.
You bolder than me, cat.
Come on, right?
Yeah,
Like, I mean,
run
just
it.
say it to my face.
Yeah.
But I was having a moment. All right,
Yeah.
Galanji, in 2023, the Public Religion Research Institute, this is when Genocide Joe was in the White House, found that a third of Republicans agreed with the statement, quote, because things have gotten so far off track, true American patriots may have to resort to violence in order to save our country. Now, before you respond to that, I do want to play a quote we've referenced Brother Malcolm El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz. Let's roll that clip.
Malcolm X, I want to talk with you briefly about your affiliation with Cassius. How long have you known him?
About 3 years.
And have you been advising him as far as his religious affiliations are concerned?
Well, no, I don't give advice to anyone. He's my brother and my friend. I express what I know and understand around him, and then, but he has a mind of his own and understanding of his own.
Did he feel that, he tells me that he felt that his affiliation with the Muslim religion had a great deal to do with his winning.
Yes, as a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the religion of Islam, it definitely had everything to do with his victory. It gave him the confidence that was necessary to be the winner.
Malcolm X, you were involved in a controversy some months ago with your leader. Is that over?
Well, I've been silent for the past 90 days because of some statements I made concerning the President of the United States. Which were distorted.
They were distorted.
And yes.
What did you say, Malcolm?
Well, I said the same thing that everybody says, that his assassination was the result of the climate of hate.
But
only I said the chickens came home to roost, and which means the same thing. Climate of hate means that this is the result of something. And when I said chickens coming home to roost, I said the same thing.
But you did not say that you were glad the president was killed.
No, that's what the press said.
Uh-huh.
What will I look like saying that I'm glad the president was killed?
Malcolm, this was your first public statement in that 90-day period, is it not?
First time I opened up my mouth in 90 days. That's why I'm talking so fast and so hearty.
You feel, however, that that we're making progress in this country and worldwide?
No. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress.
Mm-hmm.
You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow made. And they haven't even begun to pull a knife out, much less try and heal the wound. They won't even admit the knife is there.
It's almost like he's talking about right now, Brother Kalonji. So I'm gonna give you final statements on the Republicans say we're gonna have to go back to violence. Brother El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz saying that you produce a climate of hate. Hate is what you get in return.
Hey, man, see, you can't do that to me, Kat. You can't end this. You can't have me go after Malcolm. You know what I'm
saying? Not go after.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
Oh, you may go after. Oh, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, I got the Holy Ghost. I got chills. You know what I'm saying? Malcolm is a prophet, and I think you ought to listen to. Yo, listen, they might have to go back to violence. I mean, when did they leave violence? You know what I'm saying? You're talking about a country that's like, what? Less than 250 years old, right? Less than 250 years old, and you're talking about being in war or conflict since its inception. Every year, some people say there's a few years they weren't at war. They were at war with Africans since they met us, since we touched this soil, before they met us, before we got on those ships, right? All of that was an act of war. So when they say they might have to go back to violence, again, the police have been murdering us in the streets. Damn near 2,000 people, 1,500 people murdered in the streets of the United States every year by the police, right? That's not violence. You know, the political assassinations in countries home and abroad, the toppling of leadership all over the world, and they're talking about they're going to go back to violence. Have they not noticed what's been going on in Palestine for decades? Have they not noticed what's been going on in the Congo? Have they not noticed what's been going on in the Sudan, where they have their bloody fingers all over? If you can look at the fingerprints, if you can see, if you can do, what's the thing they do with the police? They
forensics.
Come in with the forensic joint. Yeah, you can see their fingerprints everywhere. Everywhere, if you could do a forensic test around the world, and in those over 900 military bases around the world, you will see the fingerprints of the United States when it comes to tyranny and oppression. And if you don't see their direct fingerprints, you'll see the United Nations or the EU or any of their other cohorts that they fund. You know, so I don't even understand what they're talking about when they say we might have to go back to violence. How much more violent can you get? You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, come on, man. That's like, you know, I almost said something crazy. Yeah, we good. You know, yeah. We hope you don't go back to violence. I mean, shit, can you really be more violent than this? You know, were you not violent with Hiroshima and Nagasaki? You know what I'm saying? When you killed over 250,000 people? Were you not violent? You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's insane. And they're so delusional that sometimes you look at them, you're like, man, y'all really believe what you're saying.
They do, and that's the scary, well, yes. One of the scary parts is that they are sincere.
Yes.
With the words coming out, they believe what they are saying.
Yes. I mean, that's some gangster propaganda right there. You're talking about brainwashing, and then you have us, our poor folks, with Stockholm Syndrome. They come along and they're like, you know, well, it's getting better. You know, this is happening. And like, man, nutty like squirrel doo-doo. I don't even understand how we, man, listen. We're in bad shape. But we're going to win, though. We're going to win.
Say more. Why?
Listen, we're going to win because we still exist. We're going to win because our ancestors, I'm in the state of Georgia right now, one of the most racist states in the United States. Don't get it twisted and say, oh, you're in Atlanta. I love Atlanta. This is one of the most racist states, not in the South, but south of the Canadian border, as Malcolm was talking about. The fact that we still exist, the fact that you're still on the West Coast, the fact that we're still fighting, the fact that folks like Leonard Peltier are still moving forward, despite being locked up for 49 years. The fact that Mumia, with all of his difficulties and everything he's going through for the past 40-something years, he's still strong. You still hear his voice. The fact that Imam Jamil Alameen, formerly H-Rap Brown, is still moving. And they're not saying, don't fight. They're not saying, give up. They're not saying it's so rough in here, I've been down so long. They said, keep it moving. You say, keep that fight moving. The fact that Rochelle McGee was locked up for 67 years is a reason that we must continue to fight. And it's a reason that we will continue to fight. And so, until our last breath, this is us to the death and beyond.
On those powerful words, Brother Kalanji, I'm going to say thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for your work. And I'll be talking to you soon.
Hey, love you, sis. Keep on winning. They can't do nothing with us. Like Imam Jamil say, they don't got us. We got them. Law and disorder. We got this. Be safe out there. Free them all.
You too, brother. Free them all. That is the voice of Kalanji Jamachenga, organizer, founder of the FTP movement, co-chair of the Urban Survival and Preparedness Institute, and co-founder of Black Power Media. He is also author of the best-selling book, How to Build a People's Army, and co-producer of the documentary, Organizing is the New Cool. We skipped our Resistance in Residence segment for today. We will go long tomorrow with Cheryl Fabio, an Oakland-based filmmaker, writer, and cultural worker whose documentary Spotlight, Black Resilience, Justice, and Community. There's a film festival that is happening right now where Cheryl is playing all it's year long. You can learn more about what is playing in Oakland and where to get more information about tickets and the conversation that is happening by going to the Sarah Webster Fabio Center for Social Justice website. That's the Sarah Webster Fabio Center for Social Justice website. There's a list of all the screenings. Shameless plug. My film Bottled Spirit starring Margot Hall will be playing on October 9th, and I'll be in a panel after that. We're not done with this conversation. Right. And it's not about continuing to talk about Charlie Kirk. It is, I think, an opportunity. There's an opportunity here. There's an opening here for us to have an honest, real conversation without fear mongering, but in the spirit of preparedness and acceptance of where we're at, of the political, social and cultural fabric of America in these times, because that is what should be informing our organizing strategies.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.